You're good to go.
We read the psalm by Moses, and we know that Moses, already 120 years old and 40 years down with his people through the desert on the way to Canaan, receives the message that he himself will not enter into the promised land. Yes, that someone else would continue leading the people in his place. Then when Moses announces Joshua as his successor, he does it amongst other things by the words to the people that we have read together in Deuteronomy 31:6, be strong and of good courage, and do not fear nor be afraid of them, for the Lord your God, he is the one who goes with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you. Moses actually says to Joshua, listen well, he, our Lord, will not leave you nor forsake you. Moses repeats these words, he will not leave you nor forsake you, to the people. He repeats it two verses later on when he speaks in front of them directly to Joshua himself. That means you can see the repetition in Deuteronomy 31:6 and again in 31:8. The Lord, he is the one who goes before you. He will be with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you. Do not fear nor be dismayed. It was probably also at this time, at the end of his life, that Moses composed the poem which we know today as Psalm 90 in the Lord's Word. This psalm shows many similarities with the song of Moses just two chapters further on in Deuteronomy 31. You can read it on your own afterwards. In Psalm 91, we read that Moses is called the man of God. Actually, in the English version, it is part of the title of the psalm, Moses, the man of God. And this title of Moses, the man of God, is echoed in Deuteronomy 31:1. And again in Joshua 14:6, where Moses is also called the man of God. Now, not long after these words of encouragement to Joshua, in our Bibles, a mere four chapters later on, we read in Joshua 1 that the Lord himself spoke to Joshua, and that he also refers to those words of Moses earlier, four chapters ago, in Deuteronomy 31:6 and 8, as coming from himself. He says to Joshua, I have commanded you, be strong and of good courage. Joshua 1:9. And these words, be strong and of good courage, originally from Moses in Deuteronomy 31:6, spoken shortly before his death to Joshua, and repeated as many as four times in Joshua 1, in verses 6, 7, 9, and 18, are expressed in Joshua 1:18 as an explicit imperative, a command of the Lord. Only be strong and of good courage. Dear brothers and sisters, we see therefore that this exhortation is repetitively almost enforced. Be strong, to such an extent that this exhortation, this encouragement in the darkest and most terrifying circumstances, becomes in Joshua 1:9 a direct order, have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. In Philippians, the letter by the Apostle Paul, Philippians 4, we find a similar thought with Paul, who, under guidance of the Holy Spirit, just like Moses, writes in encouragement but also exhortation to the church, rejoice in the Lord always. Again I will say, rejoice. A couple of hundred years after the time of Moses and Joshua, this is especially touching when David finds himself in the darkest moments of tribulation, at the moment when anguish and desolation threatens to overwhelm him, precisely then when the prosecution shows its most dangerous side of hostility, when loneliness, fear, little faith, little confidence, depression, a lack of hope, when all of these very human in such circumstances threatened to cast David in the deepest pit of despair with no hope of deliverance, then comes David with a psalm of praise regarding the wonderful protection of the Lord. Psalm 27. You should also read this psalm this evening. We only read two verses from the psalm. And he concludes this song of praise with a jubilant expression of his trust in the Lord. Psalm 27:14. When we read it, wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. That means, trust the Lord and be strong. In these dark moments, the Holy Spirit comforts David with the same words with which Moses encouraged Joshua hundreds of years before, and with which the Lord himself thereafter echoed by the people again encouraged Joshua, be strong. It actually is a quotation. And when David is comforted by these words of Moses from the mouth of the Lord, so that it becomes a confession, we have to think about it. David knew Psalm 90 by heart, like all the people of Israel. The Holy Spirit uses David to exhort the church of all times, even us today here in Waymart, be strong, be of courage, trust the Lord, wait on the Lord. With David, it receives a further special emphasis as he frames it with a renowned expression of faith in the Lord, as we read it in Psalm 27:14. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, wait, I say, on the Lord. So it is a frame around this exhortation. But in this same psalm, Psalm 27, David also harks back to other words uttered by Moses. In the last verse of Psalm 90, we have read it. There, Moses concludes the psalm with a gospel snapshot of the life of a believer here on earth. In that verse, Moses, under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, brings the perspective of comfort. This is at the same time a proclamation with the church of all time when Psalm 90 is sung in churches all over the world. The prayer that the Lord will confirm the labor of the faithful, although conducted with frailty in imperfection. There in the Psalm of Moses, Psalm 90:17, we already witness the eternal line that is drawn, a line that will be completed on the last day, on the youngest day, when the congregation of chosen people, the children of the Lord in the New Testament, also will sing two songs of worship. We, the faithful, are going to sing, when Jesus Christ comes again, two songs of worship. This we read in the book of Revelation chapter 15, namely the song of Moses and the song of the Lamb of Jesus Christ. Revelation 15, 2 and 3 we read, and I saw something like a sea of glass mingled with fire, and those who have the victory over the beast, over his image, and over his mark, and over the number of his name, standing on a sea of glass, having harps of God. They sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb. Dear brothers and sisters, there's however something more about Psalm 90. In Psalm 90:17, we also read of the beauty of the Lord. And this expression is very important. The expression beauty of the Lord in Psalm 90:17, we find echoed yet one time, one other time in the Psalms. When David, a few hundred years later, speaks in Psalm 27:4 of the wonderful privilege of being in the house of the Lord, that means the presence of the Lord. In that psalm, we are given a key to the church to put this life, our life, into perspective, to comprehend the suffering in this world. And for, and that we have to concede to one another in our questions on suffering and our struggle with it, in our quest for answers, in our incapacity to empathize with one another, where we are clueless to indicate with words that which cannot be expressed, where often we do not know how to provide comfort amidst that which apparently seems so dreary to us, in our embarrassment, where we feel ourselves powerless against the suffering of others or even that of yourself, one is challenged time and again with our human limitations. How is it possible to sing psalms of praise when the darkest night is ahead? How is it possible to remain standing when it feels as if your whole world caves in? Who of us, if we are very honest and apply the word of God as a mirror of our lives, are able to say, I have no sins, I never anguish, I never wrestle with my thoughts, I never despair, there is forever nothing but a smooth downhill highway ahead of me? Perhaps something like going from Weimar to Philadelphia. How does a believer reach that point as described by Moses in Psalm 90:17 and David in Psalm 27:14? A clue to this, a key to understand this is found in Psalm 27:4. Let us read it together. One thing I have desired of the Lord, Psalm 27:4, that one thing will I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to acquire in his temple, to inquire in his temple. You see this expression, the beauty of the Lord, we only find in Psalm 27:4 and in Psalm 90:17. That means David, actually, under the guidance of the Spirit, is quoting Moses, who said it a few hundred years before. Against all that man may hold in high esteem, also especially modern man, who lives under so much stress in a society that increasingly escalates pressure and allows tension to peak, even for our children, especially for our children, yes, against all other so-called essential things, David comes forth and emphasizes in a way that leaves no room for doubt. One thing, it's absolute, one thing I have desired of the Lord, that I will seek. Hence, I ask only one thing, Lord, nothing else. This is also proclaimed in the celebration of the Lord's Supper. Nothing else. All other matters, no matter how important in the eyes of people, in the eyes of the Lord, it does not compare. None less than Jesus Christ himself would again emphasize this truth to his church, that we have to put God's work first. For example, in Matthew 6:33 or in Luke 12:31, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. And this is what David here says. Although he was persecuted, although he was exiled, he, the elected of the Lord, the Messiah, was exiled. Although he had to flee from his own country, he proclaims here that Nothing else is important than just to have communion with the Lord, to be absorbed in Him day and night. Other things, including those that he had lost, cannot weigh up to this one yearning desire of his, to be with the Lord, to be able to serve the Lord, in everything to serve the Lord, in his calling every day, his actions towards others. This is all he asks. In fact, we see how the Lord brings perspective on suffering, on sadness, on longing, on modern life, through Moses and David. Yes, the Lord never says in his word that we should not be sad, that we should not also cry. In fact, we read in the Gospels how Jesus Christ himself cried when his friend Lazarus died. But what the Lord does say is where we should go with our sadness or our despair, or even more accurately, to whom we should and could and may and must take our tears and sadness and worries and concerns. We hear the words of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, in these precise words of the Lord so long before the Lord's Son became man. Directed to Joshua hundreds of years before David, more than 3,000 years ago, and which David would again embrace hundreds of years later, these words say, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for yourselves, for my yoke is easy, my burden is light." From the mouth of Jesus himself. Because of Christ, who would come, and no other reason, Moses can conclude his prayer in Psalm 90 when he prays that the beauty of the Lord our God should be on us, only because of Christ. David also, under the guidance of the Spirit of Christ, expresses his yearning, the confession, to witness the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. That's the reason why we have to attend worship every Sunday as often as possible, at all. And therefore the author of the letter to the Hebrews, also on the guidance of the Spirit of Christ, could quote in Hebrews 13:5 the words of the Lord to Joshua when he explicitly writes to the New Testament church with reference to Deuteronomy 31 and Joshua 1 by saying, quote, "For he, the Lord himself, has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you." Hebrews 13:5. The epitome of all peace and joy and fulfillment and grace is to be in the presence of the Lord. Like David confesses in Psalm 27, "To dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in his temple." Dear brothers and sisters, to experience God in his revelation as he reaches down and speaks to us, to experience, to hear, to reflect, to examine, then we should understand one thing very well here today. There where the word of God is preached purely, there we are in the presence of the Lord. There we may see his beauty. And this is also the case with the Lord's Supper. The word of God, not the words of man, not that which makes me feel good, not that which is pleasant on my ears. Paul has spoken about this with his warning, "For the time will come," 2 Timothy 4, "when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables." There is but one measure, whether a pastor is preaching the word of God or where he is placing himself in the center and spreading his own message. And this one measure is Scripture, the Word of Christ. With the birth of Christ, we can say, in the words of Psalm 90 and 27, we can see the beauty of the Lord. With the coming of Christ, this prophetical prayer of Moses in Psalm 90, 17, and the prophetical longing of David in Psalm 27, 4 came into fulfillment. With the coming of Christ, it is not us who attend to the Lord, but He who came to us. That is why the Spirit of Christ rings out clearly in the words of David as he concludes Psalm 27 with the comforting expression, "Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and He shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord." Wait on the Lord. Yes, trust in Him. Just trust. Keep good faith. Trust Him, especially when the night seems at its darkest. In the most profound moment of anguish and doubtfulness, David hears the voice of the Good Shepherd who says, "Trust the Lord." And we are confronted with this question today, every one of us, young and old. Do we all hear the voice of the Good Shepherd? Trust the Lord. Actually, in Psalm 27 and in Psalm 90, one hears the gospel which echoes in Romans 8, 31 and 32. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? This is the comfort that our Lord Jesus Christ provides in His Word. It is also the only place where we can find comfort in His Word. And He gives us this comfort, the only true comfort, that I belong with body and soul in this life and in death, not to myself, but to my faithful Savior Jesus Christ, like we confess in question 1 of our catechism. The Lamb with His precious blood took my sins upon Him. And the Spirit of Christ encourages us, trust the Lord. Be strong and be brave. Yes, trust the Lord. Until the latter day, when every child of the Lord will sing two songs in the presence of the loveliness of the beauty of the Lord, the song of Moses and the song of the Lamb. Each worship service where the true word of the Lamb is proclaimed, where the gospel of Christ is preached, is each occasion, each celebration of the Lord's Supper, is a foretaste of eternity with Him. Amen. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank You for this word that we hear in Psalm 27, in Psalm 90, and going back to Deuteronomy 31, Joshua 1, all other guidance of the Spirit of You, of Your Son, that we have to be strong, and we can be strong in Christ. Please help us, every one of us, young and old, small and adult, to have this strengthness, this courage, this power in Christ alone. Not because of us. It's not our strength, but because of Christ, what He has done for us. We thank You that we can know that also these prayers in Psalm 90 and Psalm 27 were fulfilled in Christ, and that we as the Church of the New Testament, being part of Your people, can live from it. Please help us in this new week, guide us by your Spirit and your word, and bless the celebration of your supper and the rest of this worship. That we ask in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Our hymn of preparation now for the supper comes from page 466. It's based on 2 Chronicles 6.